Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Think about truth and how important. It's so important. Now imagine just getting a big box of parts and somebody says, I want you to put this together. How long is it going to take you to put something together? You're going to, first thing you're going to look for, eventually you're going to look for,
hopefully, a
manual on how to put it together. Because mm-hmm. the manufacturer has established it was his idea. It was her idea. And so they know they had it all put together at first, and then they found out how to actually cut it up and make it to bits and pieces where you can get it to your business or your home. So you can put it back together again, mm-hmm.
Assemble it.
But if you don't have that manual, imagine what it's going to look like. I'm not going to talk about a swing set that I put up backwards.
Is that what that was?
Oh man, it was hot. It was a swing set. I mean, how can you get a swing set wrong?
You didn't have to look at the manual, right?
It has two poles that come down, something across, a teeter totter swing. Oh, years ago, I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I was beat red when that son after I got that thing up. And the simple thing was just look at the instructions, Donna said. And so what is truth? I mean, think about it. That's actually, if you talk to people, the statistics right now are that if you ask several years ago, what is truth? Is there absolute truth? Then most people would have said, yes, there is absolute truth. But it's like 60-70% now of you go to college campuses and you ask them, you know, is there absolute truth? And they say, well, no, it all just depends upon mm-hmm. and all that. Which that's dangerous because truth is very specific. It is the operation manual. And that's what the Bible is. The Bible tells us from the very, very beginning of time, truth. You first have to believe that God exists and he created everything that you see. He's God of the universe. And that he created you in his likeness. And then he told us how we're to operate and how our life is to function. And we can read historically people who actually listened and read the manual and how well their life went. And the people who refused to listen or to operate under the manual, the truth, and how their life went. And so we have all these great examples of what it's like when you go by the truth.
Yeah.
And truth is proven right by her children. I mean, that's just it. You just look at the fruit of someone's life, and you could say the truth proved right. This is exactly what they were saying. This is what happened. And he's talking about here how, you know, specifically that that these words like love and
they've been co-opted in our society.
Yes. What are some of the words that he's...
Truth, equality, justice. Even civil rights and all these different words now have a different meaning by those who are trying to redefine them. And you have even a new generation that doesn't even know the original intent and of these words and how they were even came to pass.
Yeah. And that would be the goal, is to remove people away from the operations manual. And then, you know, you can start assembling things the way you want them to look.
Right.
You know, a brand new utopia of what you think, how you think things should be. That never works out. From the beginning of Nimrod's little experiment with his tower all the way through, it's never worked out. For some reason, it always begins with God is dead in the verbiage, and people die. Anybody that knows something dies. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you have a generation like Pol Pot did, like Mao did, like over Hitler was doing.
Catchphrase, this is the new normal.
Yeah, this is the new normal, not a good thing. And the truth is the truth. And God writes the truth on our hearts. And this is important to understand because you don't have to worry about what people are. Nothing's changed. God's the same. And even though you may get your way and you force people to do this or that, you're still going to be miserable because in your heart, you're still convicted over this thing. It's still God's truth is dealing with you. And the dangerous thing, when you don't respond to that, all of a sudden you'll be used by the one that you're bound to. You know, the adversary will begin to use you. Satan will begin to use that person to come against God's folks. And thinking he's going to convince you that if you just kill the Jews and push them in the sea, if you just kill the Christians and do away with them, your life will be better. And the truth is, how in the world? I mean, think about this just for a moment. Let me gently instruct you, as Paul told Timothy. Just pause for a moment. How in the world could that make any sense at all? I mean, really think about it. How can somebody that lives 20,000 miles away from you have anything to do with your struggle? And your, that's just the enemy lying to you. You are in total control of your destiny if you just say, you know what, I'm going to make a choice for God. And there's absolute truth. There's, you know, love. Flesh love, you know, where, you know, you physically love someone. But there's also the agape type love where I love you because I love. It's just I love. Nothing's going to stop it. It's a present love. And God agapes us. He loves us.
Unconditional
love. And I think it's phileo type love, which is brotherly love. And you're hearing the word love thrown around like it just means everything. And love means love. And God has called the church to love. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for us so that we can be in relationship. The ones that he loves could be in relationship with him. And so we can't let people co-opt love. Nobody can steal love away from you. You can consciously give it away. Mm-hmm. And the question is how did that happen? Maybe we left love a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And the people began to look for love in all the wrong places. Or they should have found love is in the love one another's. When you come around people who are professing to be believers, that their love for each other is what draws us to God. He says, this is the place of the commanded blessing. This is the place that people will become jealous over that. Even Israel will become jealous over it. I mean, it's a wonderful place to be. But if the church is not moving in love, and he says in the last days, he says that the love of most will grow cold. And so it is a challenge to be able to remain in that place of love. So the question is, you know, is there an operations manual? Is there truly some sort of accurate, this is true north? I mean, this is the truth. And Jesus says it very specifically. Jesus is saying this. He says it in John 14:6, was the scripture I meant to say earlier. If you ask the question, what is truth? This is the answer that you would give someone if you're a Christian, if you're truly a Christ follower, is this is what Jesus said truth is. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, that's like shuts all doors. Mm-hmm. He goes on and says, and any other way is a thief and a robber. I mean, that drives a wedge right into the fact of saying he's the only way to God. He's the truth. And so to ignore Jesus, to call Jesus just a carpenter, or to call him just a prophet, or to call him, you know, just another option, versus he is he is alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father, that he came, he was born here on earth through the whole Spirit of God hovering over the womb of woman, and he was conceived there, he was birthed. You know, that's why we celebrate Christmas, by the way. It's not so you can go out and buy a whole bunch of stuff and get your fleshly, carnal things, you know, whatever. It's because God was born on earth. And that's why the angels were rejoicing. He says, you know, peace and joy to all men. So it's an awesome thing. And then he lived out a sinless life. But at the end of that life, after he revealed the Father to us for 3 years of that life, he gave his life for us. He made a way. He is the way. See, there is no other way. He's the way. He's not only the truth, but he's the way. You see, outside of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, there was no way to God. We were undone. We were, no matter how good we thought we were, everything we've done is nothing, like it's like filthy rags. I mean, think about that. Our best was not even good enough for anything. But he gave his life for us. He is the way. He's the gate. And so when he gave his life, he laid down his life for us, for the sins of the world, for your sins, for my sins. He paid in full for any sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit. If you repent before God, you live a life before him, humble yourself before him, he'll forgive you. And you'll be in right standing with God. But not only he paid in full for your healing, he paid in full for your deliverance. I mean, this is an awesome deal. You know, the devil can't have a hold on you when you understand the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, think about it. It says the light came and shined amongst men but in darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend it. So people who don't know God, They can't understand what's going on. But if you profess to know God, if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, then he dwells inside of you. And his light, his word, his truth is a lamp unto your feet. It tells you where you are, and it's a light unto your path. It tells you where you're going. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. When you actually meditate on his word, you get success, as he told Joshua. The word of God is powerful. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself is the word of God. He says in John, in the beginning, the Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Mm. And then the word became flesh. What does that mean? Jesus became flesh, and he became a man like us, all man, all God. You think that's the ultimate transcendence of God coming down to show himself to us, how loving, how kind, how merciful. And it was interesting to me, this, is that it was only the religious folks, the people who thought they had God all figured out, that couldn't even see God right in front of their face.
Right in front of their face, and even dare call, you know, him a demon. It's like,
yeah, they call him Lucifer.
Yeah.
And they, go ahead. When you think about it, so the most dangerous folks, you know, if you would, are the people who say that they have another Jesus. Yeah. They have another gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, listen, we're not saying don't be religious. We're just saying we need to fundamentally transform, you know, deep-seated religious beliefs, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And so you got to say, you can't transform truth. I mean, truth is truth. I mean, you can beat on it. You can try to mold it and shape it. When it comes out, it's the same thing it was to begin with. The only thing you can do is begin to believe a lie and pull yourself away from the truth. But the truth remains the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, let the whole world fall away, but not one part of the truth.
Hmm.
Which is so great, because you can hold on to the truth of God. I mean, you can hold on to what he says. I mean, think about the power in that.
And it'll never fade. That's the whole thing. You know, speeches will come and go. Ideas will come and go. Nations will rise and fall. But God's word will always remain. And if you're looking for a way to live your life, believe me, this is the manual. It is God's words.
Yes. You can put this thing together, your life, with the word of God.
Absolutely.
That's so powerful. I mean, think about it. You have 81%. There's more. Every average home in America has how many Bibles?
I think 4.7 Bibles.
But now with the digital Bibles, you probably have 20 million,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
The thing about it is, you're going to have to pick it up. You're going to have to read it and begin to abide. Abide with the Lord. We have a simple plan for you if you don't have it. You know, everybody wants to abide once they find out about it, but they don't know how to do it, because Jesus said, apart from abiding in me, the truth, you can do nothing. We have one for you. It's simple. Just go request it for free. It'll be sent to you at iabide.org. We're talking about truth, you know, and the specifics, you know, about truth. And so the word of God, the Bible, you know, in its original, you know, manuscript, is without error. And it's living. That's how you know, because it's the only book that comes with the author, you know, with the Lord. And so when you know God and your eyes are open, it brings life to you. It brings hope to you. But if you don't know him, it's just a book of vocabulary. It doesn't. And so the difference is, when you make the word the Lord of your life, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, your eyes open up. And as a matter of fact, Bishop Harry Jackson wrote a book called Jesus Continue. And he's an interview on Fox talking about, you know, the specifics of this. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
Welcome to A Spirited Debate. I'm Lauren Green. You know, check out these Bible verses you've probably heard before. Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone, or for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And how about this favorite? Judge not, lest ye be judged. If you don't go to church all that often, do you really get the full meaning of those verses, their context in your life? You know, it's a question asked by ministers at a recent panel discussing whether preaching through the Bible actually has great risks. Joining me to explain is Pastor J.D. Greer of the Summit Church in North Carolina, who's also the author of Jesus Continued, and Bishop Harry Jackson, senior pastor at Hope Christian Church in D.C. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to be with you.
Pastor J.D., let me start with you. So if you're a Christian minister, you have to draw from your major source material, which is the Bible. So what's the risk there?
Well, I mean, certainly the risk is the Bible offends every culture in every age. And so inevitably, you're going to come to something that's very out of fashion with the culture that you live in. The Bible is kind of an equal opportunity offender, meaning that in all countries, in all places, at all times, it's always something that was just was completely against the grain. So you're taking a risk of doing that. But I would say that the risks doing that are not as great as the risk of not preaching the Bible, because then you end up projecting just your thoughts and opinions and whatever your hobby horse is onto whoever is listening to you. So, yeah, the risks are there, but the risk of not doing it are even greater.
Yeah, you know, and Bishop, what about just the whole timing issue? I mean, you've got people who aren't in church very often. You've got a problem with trying to explain something that maybe they just don't have a foundation for.
Well, our real problem is, how do you convey a moral framework by which people can live, build a worldview, and operate in a society that is fluctuating and changing? So you've got to be systematic in some manner, but you've got to be entertaining at the same time. So we're living in a way where Hollywood can trump the average boring, dowdy sermon, and we've got to be contemporary, concise, but substance, as my fellow panelists have shared. I think that's really key, and people need truth to live by.
Yeah, but and Bishop, how do you make the Bible, though, based preaching, relevant to people who don't attend church regularly, who are probably more influenced by MTV or, like you say, movies or whatever is hot on Facebook? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, I think you've got to start at the beginning in sermon preparation, asking yourself, over the next year, what needs to be said? What do my people need to know? Number two, what questions or dilemmas are they going to be asked? And then I think you start down the arduous task of trying to add music, drama, whatever, to the equation. But today, one question may be, how would you address a culture that would be dealing with transgender identity issues without starting in the middle of the story and feeling like you're in a heavy-handed way declaring truth without background?
Yeah, and J.D., I think that's the same question for you, because there's so many people who are sort of catechized by secular culture, and how do you make the Bible sort of relevant to their lives?
Well, you find that while a lot of things change from culture to culture, you find that the essence of humanity is the same. And so what people were thinking about 3,000-4,000 years ago is pretty much the same thing they're thinking about today. And so while it does require a little work to bridge some of the context, I mean, Abraham, for example, his context is a little different than ours, but the ultimate questions are still the same. I find that the closer that I stick to what God revealed, the more relevant I become. I mean, the church that I pastor is probably 9,000 or so on the weekend. 73% of the adults are single, and about that percentage are under the age of 30, between college age and the age of 30. And so I don't think, you know, doing it that way, it loses its relevance. In fact, I think when you disconnect yourself from the timeless truth of God's word and you immerse yourself in kind of just the contemporary opinions of the day, that's when you become irrelevant.
You know, how much, though, is Bible literacy a problem, though? Because I was reading, even some seminaries say there's a lack of Bible knowledge, even among their students entering. J.D.?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, even in the 10 years that I've been a pastor, the amount that people just bring into knowing, you know, when you're talking through things, you're having to explain, you know, what concepts are, and you're having to say, you know, people maybe 20 years ago would have known what this is, but here's what this means. It's a challenge, but it's really one that everybody in every culture faces just in different ways, and that's kind of our job, is to bridge that context and educate.
Yeah, Bishop, let me give you the last word on that, because, you know, when I grew up, I learned every sort of Bible story out there, and a lot of people just don't have that context. What do you say?
Well, we live in an age where people want to hear stories. Storytelling is in. Dramatic examples and declarations are in. So I think people are hungry to know. I think our challenge is to make what we say relevant. I agree with my friend here that it's very important that we stay close to the text, because the truths are timeless. But there's an amazing openness and hunger, I believe, for truth in America. Folks are just tired of judgmentalism, and they're tired of old-fashioned presentations. That's my take on things.
All right. I want to thank you so much.
It's a great word.
Thank you so much, Pastor Greer and Bishop Jackson, for being here.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Well, make sure to check out the pastor's book, Jesus Continued. And for more on this developing story, you want to check out foxnews.com. And thanks for watching.
That is so encouraging, hearing about truth. And, you know, you can't, this is, I think this is probably where, you know, we, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You want them to be happy all the time. And we don't want our children to go through difficult things. And we're trying to protect everybody from the reality. But the thing is that the truth offends if people don't want the truth. It divides. Yeah. He says, don't suppose I came to bring peace, Jesus said, but a sword, not a sword, physical sword, but the truth. He says, the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. He said, it's the sword of the spirit. So when you use the word of God and speak it, it begins to divide lie from truth. He said, even in your own household, when you begin to speak the truth, it could cost you your marriage. It could cost you your parents or your children. It'll divide everybody, and it divides this. It'll divide everybody based on this. What side of the truth do you want to be on? It's just going to do that. And if you think you can live a life that everybody's going to be on your side, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, the dilemma of thinking I got to have everybody love me. Most people that are in that dilemma just love themselves. I mean, they love themselves and they'll squeeze you in, but they're not lovers of you, because if they loved you, then they would actually want you to know the truth so that you would be blessed and forgiven, all those kind of things. And so, you know, getting past this reality is like, I guess I've got to, you know, say things. And this is what Jesus said. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If the student will not be treated any better than the teacher, and the church in America has been trying to live a better life than Jesus, as if that means something.
Right.
And that an unpersecuted life. A life where everybody will vote for you. At least 51% will vote for you so you can get an office. Right. Versus standing for something, principles. In love, though, speaking the truth in love. Because the truth is, the truth affects us and it reveals our weaknesses. It reveals our need for grace, our need for mercy. Every day, and when you spend time in the truth, you find out, dear Lord, thank you for your mercy. And you're able to go, God, you know, forgive me for this and heal me from that. And as a matter of fact, I want to pray for you right now. That the truth, that you'll get bold. Ask God, I just pray that God would give you boldness and you will just embrace the truth unashamedly and in love. Apply it first to Jerusalem, to yourself, and then to begin to bless others with it. Father God, I pray right now for those that are listening and watching, God. I just pray that your truth be revealed, Father God, and that there will be no confusion over what truth is, who truth is, and who the way is. But out of love, you gave your son. Help us, Lord, to understand it's not about force in regards to physical things. It's about us forcefully loving folks and laying down our lives and going the extra mile. I pray, Lord, for that love and patience to come over your body, Father God. Help us to love others, Father God, with the truth. Love them enough to tell them the truth. And if that truth divides them from us, at least we love them enough to let them know that you love them. You'll forgive them, that you have a plan for their life, a good plan for them. And for those right now that are ready to embrace the truth, I encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. The truth wants to meet you. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.